There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Somebody just tweeted out that the Bills have already been called for roughing the passer on Patrick Mahomes in this game for next week.
They have their flags ready. They might have an extra flag in their pocket, the refs. Patrick Mahomes might have a flag that just drops out of his pocket, too.
What if they came? What if the captains came out for the coin toss and the ref said, just so you know, you've already been flagged for roughing the passer. We start the game that way.
They give Von Miller a side eye. We're looking for you. I have my eyes on you.
Well, we all have our eyes on the Pirates. Unfortunately, they've done absolutely nothing this offseason at a time when I feel like this city desperately needs them. They could swoop in here and be heroes to us all. And they don't have to do that much, but something would be nice. Instead, as I open the show with, I don't even know the guy's names, other than McCutcheon. It doesn't matter. One of them was named Alvarado, was he? Is that a guy?
Yeah, the relief pitcher.
Yeah, good for him. One of them's named Caleb Ferguson and one Valdez, the Exxon Valdez, they signed.
Yeah, they're all pitchers for the bullpen.
And then Spencer Horwitz was their big trade acquisition. It's just horrific, I think, anyway. Let's see what Johnny Pirato thinks from Pittsburgh Sports Now, if I'm correct there. Is that right,
baseball.
Johnny? Pittsburgh Baseball Now. Johnny?
Pittsburgh Baseball Now.
Pittsburgh.
And various others, Draft Nation and many others.
And many others, plus shows like
many
this.
Others.
And
because nobody will hire me.
Well yes.
I tell the truth.
Or either that or a lot of people are hiring you. I can't figure out which.
A little bit of each, yeah.
What about this offseason, Johnny? What is happening here? This has been less eventful than last offseason when they signed Chapman.
Mind-boggling, and nobody will give an answer other than, well, free agency's slow, and you know, you have to wait it out. Well, a lot of players are coming off the board. It's just baffling. It's like they're not even trying. I mean, like you said, some of the guys they signed, or they make these waiver trades for a guy like Brett DeGus, who I don't know if they think they're gonna hop on the Gus bus and go to the World Series with him or exactly what they're doing. But it's just, you know, I guess you're just waiting for the microwave tailors of the world to take hardly any discounts and then Yasmani Grandals like they did last winter and go with that. But even last winter, they made a few free agent signings. They signed Martin Perez. They traded for Marco Gonzalez. I know neither guy worked out, but at least they were players that you know, the average fan had heard of. And this winter, they're just content to make waiver trades and, you know, when your biggest offseason acquisition is Spencer Horwitz after a 76-86 season, I don't see a lot of hope to contend in 2025 if that's your idea of a major move.
I just don't understand why it's not possible to bring in like one bat. I would have gone for two, you know, reasonably priced, but like Jock Peterson went for what, $16 million a year? That's not that much money. Just somebody that you can say, with him, you would just say, you're our cleanup hitter. The projections I see, Johnny, have Kiner Falefa leading off. He had a .265 on base percentage here last year. Kutch in the leadoff role. And then, like, Josh Palacios playing for this team. Their bench has Billy Cook on it. It might as well have Ron Cook coming off the bench. Is this...
Pally, I'll get you a pitch hit, Pally.
Am I missing something with the lineup here? There's no way to configure it where it looks anywhere close to good.
No. I mean, you said it all. I say it kind of for Falefa hitting leadoff. And, I mean, he is a good utility player. He's a good glove guy at a lot of positions. But he's, you know, for one, he's not an everyday shortstop. I mean, I talked to a lot of Yankees people at the winter meetings, and Kiner Falefa was their everyday shortstop in 2022. And they said, you know, he's a great guy. He's a good bench guy. But he was totally stretched at shortstop in 2022. And that's why the Yankees went with Anthony Volpe. I should say 22, and then he went with Anthony Volpe in 23, and now he's their established shortstop. Like you said, I mean, I love Andrew McCutchen. He can still help. He hit 20 home runs last year, but certainly he's not what you consider an ideal cleanup hitter at this point in his career. And, you know, a guy like Spencer Horwitz, I do like the fact that he has a .355 career on base percentage, but it's only 425 plate appearances in the big leagues. And, you know, I don't know if he hits the type of power that they really desperately need in that lineup. And first base is usually the place where you put a power hitter instead of more of an on-base and singles and walks guy than Horwitz. And, you know, they need bullpen help, and all they keep doing is picking up these guys on waiver trades or signing a guy off a good winter ball season in the Dominican, like Elvis Alvarado. And, you know, and I realize sometimes these little moves pay off, but when all you're doing is making little moves and nothing else, you better hope for a really big payoff on these guys, because there's a reason most of them put on waivers and most of them have been DFA'd, because they're obviously not good enough to be on other teams' 40-man rosters.
I mean, Josh Palacios, I thought he was gone. I kind of like him coming off the bench, but then I look at the actual bench and it's the human rain delay. I thought he was gone too. Jared Triolo, Nick York, and Ron Cook. That can be nobody's bench. And where is Henry Davis? What is his fate this year?
Henry Davis probably will start off at AAA unless he has a good spring training. And, you know, I mean, at some point they're just going to have to come to grips with the fact that they really screwed up picking him first overall in the draft. I mean, I've really seen nothing in the time he's been in the big leagues over the past two seasons that makes me think that he can even be a regular in the big leagues, let alone be an impact player that you expect the first overall pick in the draft to be. And, you know, to me, he's kind of a non-factor. He wasn't invited to Pirate Fest, and hardly anybody mentioned his name the whole weekend. So Henry's sort of out of sight, out of mind. It looks like Joey Bart's going to be the starting catcher, and rightfully so. He had a good year last year after they got him from the Giants in a trade, the first full week of the season. But in the Henry Davis's case, I mean, at this point, I think you just write that off as it was a really bad move and it didn't work out.
If you follow the Pirates and you want good opinion, good info, Johnny Pirotto on Pittsburgh Baseball Now. He's been covering the team for a long, long time. Johnny, you had a great story on Skeens. It looked like you sat down with Skeens and him talking about how many innings he wants to pitch. Tell us about that interview.
Yeah, I like Skeens. You know, he's obviously kind of the modern celebrity guy, him and his girlfriend on TikTok and everything. But yet, you know, when you talk to him, he's an old school baseball player at heart. He really is. And, you know, he always talks about the word he uses is volume. He wants to provide volume. And what he means by that is a lot of innings pitched. He wants to go out there and he wants to pitch 7 or 8 innings every time out. If it were up to him, I think he'd pitch all 9 if they would let him every time out. So I asked him, I said, you know, what would that to you, what do you think a good year would be innings wise this year? And he said 240, and I almost fell over because you just don't hear that. Nobody in the big leagues has thrown that many innings since 2014. There were only 4 pitchers in the big leagues last year, Joe, that pitched 200 innings. And he knows that realistically they are not going to let him throw 240 innings. But he said, that's how I'm going to train. I'm going to have my body ready to go out there and pitch 240 innings this year. And I was just very, very impressed with that answer. I mean, you talk about a guy in this modern era where pitchers really have so many governors put on them. For him to just say, hey, I want to go out and pitch 240 innings, that tells you the work ethic that he has and just the desire to be a good pitcher.
Man, I love that story. And sticking with him, I mentioned this yesterday. He had a couple quotes coming out of there, like the fact that they're peeing away games left and right, and they can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
He doesn't strike me as a guy, even if he's only here for, let's say, 4 years or something, who's going to be a wallflower. He strikes me as a guy who's going to pipe up when he sees fit. Do I have that right or not?
Yeah, and he addressed that the other day briefly. It wasn't a big topic of conversation, but he did say that he thinks he'll pick his spots to speak up. And, you know, the one thing is, you know, he was a rookie last year. And, I mean, regardless of how big his profile was, him being the first overall pick, it's hard for a rookie to come in the clubhouse and start saying, let's do this, let's do that. It's just not a rookie's place to do that. But I think that he realizes he's earned enough currency in that clubhouse with his performance and the professionalism that he carries himself with at all times, that I think now he will speak up. I don't think he'll be one of these guys that every week will be calling a team meeting and ripping into his teammates. But I do think if there's something that needs to be said, that he is going to say it. And I think that he's comfortable in doing it. And I think he realizes he has the respect of his teammates, or if he does do it and pick the right spots to do it, that his message will really get through to the rest of the team.
I guess I meant that in two ways. One is the way you're talking about, but more I meant it, he doesn't seem like as he grows older here that he's going to stay quiet with the organizational direction if he doesn't like it. Do you get that impression?
Yes, I do. I think, and I think it was very telling. You know, I believe it was Kevin Gorman, your friend Gormy the Owl from the Pittsburgh Crib.
our friend the Owl.
Your friend the Owl. He asked him if there had been any, you know, discussion about a long-term deal. And pardon me if I don't exactly quote the question correctly. That was the gist of it. And Skeen said, no, not really. And that's moved on to the next topic. So, you know, I got the feeling, one, they haven't had talks, and two, I'm not so sure after his first offseason here as a major leaguer, I know it's his second offseason overall, seeing such a lack of commitment, he probably already figures, well, one, I don't know if I want to be with a team whose biggest offseason acquisition is Spencer Horwitz, or two, I know there's no chance in you know what, that they're ever going to sign me long term, so I'll just play it out and wait till they ship me somewhere else.
What were some of the sights and sounds you saw at FanFest? Were you there for Travis Williams? I call him the human shield for Bob Nutting, taking all the questions. Were you there for that? Did it get ugly at any point? And why didn't Bob just take a couple questions?
Well, Bob, that's a good question. I don't have an answer because I haven't talked to Bob in at least 2 years, maybe longer than that. He just doesn't make himself available. And I guess he doesn't want to face the music. And I know they said, you know, he spoke with season ticket holders individually, and you know, that's all well and good. But I think the common fan, the person that doesn't, can't afford season tickets, and maybe can only go to, you know, maybe three games a year, that goes to Pirate Fest, probably would like to hear from the owner and have a chance to talk to him too. And but yeah, it was there's certainly fan frustration there. And you know, when a little bit of a chant, it didn't last long, probably about 5 seconds, sell the team, started, you know, within the first 5 minutes of the Q&A, that kind of showed the fans weren't real happy. And a lot of the questions the fans asked were true about lack of off-season moves, would they consider signing schemes, and all the Travis Williams and Ben Cherington, and not so much Derek Shelton, because he was asked more about roster management and player use more than overall general organizational philosophy and spending money. They just politely gave answers that really said nothing. And that's what we've come to expect from the Pirates. Nobody ever shoots straight in that organization. They just talk and talk and talk and talk in circles. And, you know, and I don't think the Pirates realize how much they infuriate their fans by doing that, instead of just shooting straight and saying, here's what we're trying to do.
Johnny, I've been remiss in not including City Limits in this conversation. He's going to pipe up with a question, and I certainly hope it's about Jalen Beeks.
Thank you, my friend Joe. It's kind of about Jalen Beeks, not exactly, but we saw the lineup and the bullpen both have their moments in negative ways last year. Which one gives you larger area of concern going into this season, because they haven't added much to both areas?
Just the lineup in general is the one that has me concerned. I mean, you know, they were 21st in the league in runs scored last year, 23rd in the major leagues in runs scored last year. And they've really done nothing to upgrade it other than Spencer Horwitz. And again, I think he can help. I don't think he's a bad player, but I don't think he can make the impact. Well, wow, you added him, and now all of a sudden you have a really good offense. And that's the one that just bothers me. You know, the other things will kind of should work out with the type of, you know, players and depth they have, but they need to score some runs. They have good starting pitching, and you can't afford to waste as much good starting pitching as they did last year, and certainly looks like they're going to do this year.
Yeah, they have good starting pitching for sure. They have a guy who might become an all-time pitcher at the top of their rotation. However, the rest of the rotation, I'm curious about. I think Keller is what he is at this point, which is a good pitcher, but one who falters late in seasons pretty badly. Jared Jones, very talented. And then who, Johnny? Like, I'm not sure this is going to be the 71 Orioles where you have 320-game winning type pitchers. You know what I mean? I don't know beyond Skeens. I think we know with Keller. And then what? Like, how good will this rotation be?
Well, I think it's one of those situations where it's going to be better by the end of the season than it is at the beginning. I mean, obviously, Skeens is, I would be shocked if he had a sophomore slump. He's just so good, and he's so talented, and he's so driven and so focused. You know, I think Jared Jones will be better this year for the experience he had last year. Keller worries me a little bit. He had a really rotten second half, and they seem to gloss over that whenever you ask the Pirates about, hey, you know, is he going to be okay? I think Bailey Falter is certainly a serviceable number four starter. And, you know, it'll be interesting. Johan Oviedo coming off after missing a year with elbow surgery. You know, he had some really good moments in 2023, and he showed he was able to eat innings. He pitched 177 and two-thirds, and maybe they used him a little too much is why he blew out. But they have a lot of really good young pitchers in Triple-A with Bubba Chandler, who's, you know, considered one of the top 20 prospects in baseball, Thomas Harrington, Mike Burrows, Braxton Ashcraft. Now, whether these guys pan out or not, you never know with prospects. But I do think if a couple of those guys pan out, that they could have a pretty good rotation. But, Joe, I'll be honest, I would like to see them go out and sign a veteran starter, somebody, you know, you could count on for 160 to 180 innings. I just think it would be, I think I would feel more comfortable if I were the Pirates going into spring training, going into the season, knowing that I had one more veteran guy that you can count on.
Yeah, and lastly, that leads to my final question is, how about parlaying, since they're unwilling to sign a hitter and they can't draft and develop any, how about parlaying some of these arms up to and including Keller, I would say? Like, anybody but Skeens is on the table for me. If you could bring back an impact bat, that seems to be what they have in surplus is young arms.
Yeah, and, you know, again, you know, they did trade Luis Ortiz and a couple of minor league left-handers of some account for Spencer Horwitz, which I thought was a bit of an overpay for a guy that's 27 and only has 425 major league plate appearances. So, I would think that with some of these young arms, they'd be able to get something. But I mean, if you have to give up that much young pitching to get a Spencer Horwitz, I don't know how they would go about getting an established big league hitter for what they have. And that really surprised me that they gave up as much as they did for him. And now I don't know if that's the price or if that's just Ben Cherington overpaying or what, but I mean, there's a lot of young arms that they have and you know, and I know it's a cliche, but everybody does need starting pitching. Well, probably everybody but the Dodgers need starting pitching now. And I just find it hard to believe they can't strike a deal. It's almost like they're in paralysis. Like they can't do anything. They can't sign any free agents. They can't make any trades. They're just like in limbo, like they're in suspended animation or something.
Johnny, you're a wonderful man. I don't think people talk about that enough. Limits, I know you agree. We'll talk again soon. Thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks, you very
Johnny.
Much. It's always good talking with you guys. Thanks for having me.
You too, man.